basically
one. Kevin.
Yeah, to go over a few things. The non-com counselors, for instance, we aren't guaranteed. Yeah, Olgan, Andre, and myself, we aren't guaranteed any support from our day jobs at all. So
volunteering our time.
Yeah. So with that in mind, for instance, this trip, I didn't want to leave at 6 a.m. on Thursday morning to take the suggested flight. I wanted to leave at 6:45 that evening on the BA flight. I was taking a day of my own vacation then, specifically because we had my granddaughter, and my daughter just flew in the night before. So I wanted to stay around to be with them. Like I said, it's a day of my vacation. So far, my employer's been fairly good about supporting me at this, but I just went to a change in management. So, but we are volunteers, and so keep in mind that at times we take vacation from our day jobs to do this. And so anything you can give us on flexibilities to fit our travel, the Friday thing, that doesn't actually save me anything because I'm in travel back home from the meeting anyway. So I've still lost that day as far as time, and I would just as soon be around to hear the actual final board meeting and the closing. If I've spent all week here anyway, that's a personal feeling. Anything you can do on flexibilities of, you know, if you want to allocate a certain amount for my flight, and if that's easier, just to allocate, you know, whatever the standard rate is for that, and I can book it myself, I'm perfectly willing to do that. It's just trying to back to that flexibility issue, and I think that hits the non-coms probably a little bit more than most of us.
Terry, so the issue with the timing is that because the other ticket was maybe cheaper, the one in the morning?
It looked to be a few hundred dollars cheaper. When I looked up, I was looking it up. I can't tell what a travel company gets the tickets for, because they've got a bulk rate with most travel companies do. But just looking them up online, it looks like there was only a couple hundred dollars difference in the flight.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. Perhaps, Saeed, you can add your comments, because I think they are somehow aligned with Terry.
I have a list of a couple of things and just share some experiences. First of all, I want to say that...
Should I just take a note and respond to all of them at the end, or how do you want to...
Sorry, well, how do you... they are somehow similar, but how do you want to proceed?
That's fine. Sounds like maybe you could do a download, and then I can do a download, and then we can see if there's any open questions.
So, Zai Jamil, I got a few points here. Some are related to personal experiences and some are related to discussions with my constituency. So let me start with the constituency issues. We had a bit of a discussion about the travel planning and things, and some people, apart from myself and speaking to other counselors, for instance, have had some challenges with routes and with a certain basically having flexibility. I think it's the same. For instance, Mary Wong had some problems when... Sorry. Oh, wait. No, it's okay. Roots. For instance, Mary Wong in Nairobi had certain difficulties. I know she can't be with us today, but she specifically had some very difficult travel, which apparently could have been, according to her, easily avoided. So there were some route issues, especially in Nairobi. People suffer for that. Nonetheless, the constituency has a view. I don't know how the stakeholder group's going to respond to this and how the travel drafting team maybe take this forward. But rather than have the slots, and I know I'm revisiting a discussion we've had in the past where the travel drafting team was actually having these discussions, was do we want slots or do we want allocations of funds? And there were different views, and we eventually sort of landed up by saying, let's have slots and see how that works. And to some extent, that's worked. it's been advantageous, I guess, from an Arcane perspective. But there have been some challenges that the users, the constituency counselors have faced. So I think that it's probably a good time to revisit the possibility of, rather than slots, have allocation of funds. Because that's something that I've been getting pushback from my constituency as well. It's not just my own experiences, but I'll go to my experiences after this. So difficulties that I've experienced have been, that I've seen others and myself, have been on routes sometimes. Some discussions with the people we interact with, BCD and others, actually it's more the travel constituency group, the one who actually manages this process, is to find the flexibility in routes. I have to say that this particular flight that I took was easily done. I just sent them something that my travel agent gave me, and they were able to absolutely just copy that and say, fine, you've asked for this, we'll give you that. So this particular travel, I didn't have a problem, this visit to Brussels. There has been a problem with the hotel dates. Definitely, because of the flexibility being unavailable for the board meeting on Friday, I would chime in with everybody else here saying that as counselors, I think it's, in fact, to the extent where we can actually be reprimanded, and some of them, some of us have been reprimanded for not attending the board meeting, particularly that day, and flights which may not be consistent with the timings of the board meetings or conflicting with that can have problems. In any case, I think that there are other things that the councils need to do over the Friday, many discussions that they have with their members over the Friday. And so I think at least until the Saturday, there needs to be some flexibility awarded there. I think it's a good idea to allow, if not the constituency, to utilize the funds for this purposes themselves, at least allow the councillors to buy their own tickets. There's a particular reason for that. When BCD, who, by the way, I have to say, have done fairly well, but here's the technical problem. When they do purchase the tickets and send you the tickets, my travel agent, for instance, cannot go and at times change the ticket. And so what ends up happening is that if you want to change the dates, say, for instance, to give you an example, I missed my flight before leaving for Karachi. The office of Emirates would say, well, you know, this is a ticket that wasn't purchased from somewhere else. I had to call Dubai. I waited for a couple, 2-3 hours, kept calling them, and eventually I got it changed. But the travel agent said to me, look, if this was a ticket that I purchased, I probably would have had flexibility to do a lot more, but unfortunately he's not been able to. I see two people raise hands saying that they've actually faced the same problem. So the ability for the counselors to purchase their own tickets through the travel agents gives them the autonomy to be able to make it flexible where they are. And it will probably avoid the difficulty of interacting with BCD, for instance. I've also noticed that when you interact with a travel constituency with BCD, there are time differences. So, I mean, the people in the States will have a different time zone as compared to, say, where I live or other people may live. And so interacting with them may be a little difficult, depending on the timings that we have for airlines in my country, for instance. So I think it seems much more efficient to me that if you let the counselors buy their own tickets and get reimbursed, sure, you can have a ceiling. You can say this is the maximum authorized amount. This is what the UN, for instance, does, the Council of Europe, others do. That may be one possibility. And one thing that I found, I just want to make a personal, share with you a personal incident. This is before Nairobi, and I sent 3 or 4 emails to say, look, I'd just like to speak to you. And I was constantly responded by saying, I received replies saying, no, it's better to do it over the email. Now, there are many things with regard to travel that are very difficult to explain over email, and you've got to make it easy for us to be able to, if we are going to do it this way, to call and just speak to somebody.
Just so clear, when you said you, did you mean...
myself.
When you said, I'd like to speak to you, did you mean...
Oh, I'm sorry.
It wasn't Kevin or Steve, it was whoever was
emailing. I'm trying to remember the travel... It wasn't
Matt or something.
I think it was the travel constituency guys. I can't remember the name. I'll get you the name after
I'm just trying to clarify that you were trying to reach one person and they said, let's just deal with the email. Okay.
Yeah, that's what happened. It wasn't the BCD person because I know the distinction. I mean, when they start talking to you, it's after the approvals and everything. So it was basically ICANN staff probably. In fact, it was. And I'll get you the sort of email chain if you want it. And I sort of said, look, I've purchased these tickets before, so let me purchase them. You can reimburse. And so that's just not possible. That couldn't have happened before. And that's, in fact, I've actually purchased tickets twice before as a counselor and been reimbursed subsequently. And the discussion I had was a little challenging because I was sort of confronted with a statement of me not stating facts. I mean, I'm trying to be diplomatic here, okay? And so that became a little challenging. I also became it became difficult for me, and I'll stop there. Let me explain. So when I said that I have purchased these tickets personally before and been reimbursed, I was told that that's never happened, which is not a fact.
Didn't believe you.
Didn't believe me. Like, I'm sorry. I didn't want to go further, but let me just leave it at that. That was the kind of challenge I had, and that wasn't with BCD. So that exchange over the phone, because it took me 4 emails, and I had a full-time staff person trying to exchange emails, and after that I got a phone number on which then I called, or they called me, even though I said, I can't take the call right now, but they called me nonetheless. I took the call. I had this conversation. It was challenging. It just didn't make any sense. And then I said, whatever. And I just moved on with life. Those are the sort of difficulties you face. And I don't think anybody's at fault, but, you know, everybody has rules. Everybody has to get approvals. And when you have the ICANN bureaucracy, plus the BCD bureaucracy, plus the fact they're in a different time zone, plus the fact that you can't do things when you're in your own country, because the ticket hasn't been purchased by you. No, that's fine. Those are the sort of things that add up. And final analysis. Right. There's here.
No, but
I think there's some in there. There's right in front of you. There's a bottle of water. Adrian's. That's actually Adrian's bottle. Go for it. Yep, that's okay.
Steve, did you hear that? I'm drinking warm unopened Coke.
So, right. So I mean, these are the kind of sort of different things I just wanted to share with you. And I want to be clear here. This particular travel to Europe has been much easier. The only difficulty was the change in the ticket that if I had to do that. Other than that, it was fairly simple, streamlined. I didn't have to worry about it. And so maybe things have improved. But I wanted to share with you experiences. In the final analysis, looking at the whole thing, looking at what my constituency is asking me, looking at my own experiences, I think it may be time to think about giving a little bit of autonomy right for the ticket to be purchased by the councillors themselves. And definitely the Friday is an important day for counselors. I think you need to sort of think about that as well, just a little bit. Thank you. I'll stop there.
One thing I wanted to make clear, they did come back to me and give me what I needed for the trip over here. So I did get the flights I wanted in the end.
So. You got the flights that you wanted in the end. All those notes I wrote, it's just that it was a long labyrinth trail to get
it
to that point.
It was back and forth.
Out of the communications.
Chuck got involved.
So I kind of hear like 5 or 6 sort of administrative issues that I want to address, and then some sort of fundamental economics issues. So I'd like to just respond in general, and then if you could take mental notes if I missed something.
Yeah. Okay.
But Tim or
your comment is aligned with that. Hedman has a related comment.
Yeah, I think it's related, so you can probably respond together. This is Edmund Chung. Although I said I was just parking here, I was listening into the conversation and want to add. This particular time, I think in terms of the reimbursement, that really needs to take a look into. Last week, we had a regional IGF in Asia, in Hong Kong, and we were trying to invite a number of people who are on the travel support to stop by Hong Kong before coming here, and it became really challenging. In fact, it became impossible for us to invite a few of the guests because of some of the restrictions, I guess, and also time. Because for example, we were willing to sort of fund the part where they would go from their original place to, say, Hong Kong, and then they could go on to Brussels and then back to, let's say, Australia, right? So Australia, Hong Kong, Brussels, and Brussels back to Australia. That became impossible, and it became impossible for them to come to Hong Kong, go back to Australia, and then come back because time became an issue.
Right.
So I just want to add to that. You know, there are these situations where some of the people might need the flexibility on routing to do some of the things that might be aligned together with the timing of ICANN as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Edmund. Avery, you want to add to that?
And it's really only historical and perspective, and that has to do with the thing you mentioned in terms of counselors being able to be here until through the board meeting on Fridays, and how important and essential I had always considered that to be when I was in the chair role, because frequently things would come up in those board meetings and there'd then need to be a running around and scrambling, talking to various council members saying, how are we going to handle this? When do we want to set up meetings? So I always felt that it was important, and I wasn't thinking about the travel needs so much as I wanted them to stay, because it was important to be able to aggregate completely and quickly and look at that. So I just wanted to basically throw that piece of what had been my reasoning then for always insisting as much as possible that they stay until that meeting was done.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, I think from the registrar's perspective, probably the main thing that I think I've heard is that being able to split up the slot. So in other words, you know, somebody used the airfare, someone else used the hotel, and per diem, that kind of thing. You know, some of the other things that were mentioned, I know have come up. I don't think, as far as I'm aware of, to the extent that have been mentioned in here, unless some of them have mentioned it to you individually. But I think it's that being able to split up a slot between more than one party is probably the biggest issue.
So we do split up slots now. You know that, like some people will, there'll be one slot that's for airfare, and then another person will take the lodging and the per diem.
Right.
You're saying that you like that or don't like that? Or
no, I think they like that. I think it's just the issue of making the arrangements and
the challenges of
the challenges of just dealing with that. Yeah,
I'm
and then they might be similar to what's being described here, but maybe not to that extent, as far as I'm aware.
Okay,
but,
that's good. All right, just as a point of clarification, Glenn, you actually provide the internal travel team on the number of days that each of the groups is allotted, right?
And what I have been doing the last meetings.
You want to record it?
Oh, sorry.
Kevin, what I've been doing for the last, is it on, is asking for the participants to be here on Friday night, because we start our meetings on Saturday morning, and to leave after the board meeting. Now, sometimes I do realize that might mean for some people that they have to leave on Saturday morning due to flights, or others might leave on Friday night. So I think that there should perhaps be a bit of flexibility there depending on the flight schedules.
Okay, so I think that's helpful. Is that foreign to those of you who are concerned about the Friday? That seems to be in contradiction to what you were saying. I think I heard that.
No.
Well, what I thought I was hearing is a passion plea that you need to stay through Friday. Aubrey articulated it by the reason why you need to stay through Friday. And what I'm hearing from Glenn is you're allowed to stay through Friday.
We are not. We are allowed to stay in the morning. It depends on where you fly and what time your flight is. You have to leave in the morning, at noon or in the afternoon.
Okay, so.
Or it depends on the flight, may you have to stay until Saturday.
The issue is you need to check out by 11 o'clock. Now, the board meeting will start in the morning at about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Everybody goes down. You could either check out early at that stage and then wait for your flight, and you're pretty much out of a hotel room at that stage. If in case there are meetings, discussions, as Avery mentioned, as follow up to the board meeting. You are unable to have them because you're obviously not going to stay overnight. So you have to take a flight, which might be at 3, 4, 5, which means you got to run to the airport at 1. So I mean, you can't say. So what happens is that becomes a very normative way of sort of saying, well, I guess depending on your flight, I guess you should check out on Friday. Or, well, if your flight is at like maybe 2 a.m., then maybe not. So I think the best thing to do here to give consistency to everybody is to say you are able to stay on Saturday. Now, if you want to leave earlier, that's up to you. But you should be able to stay until Saturday morning is I think what we're all trying to say.
Yeah,
because there are aftermath of the board meeting that goes up till 2.
I'm going to repeat what the travel guidelines are just really briefly, and it's a little bit humorous because you all wrote them, but indirectly. So the travel guidelines are an outgrowth from a desire to make sure that three groups of people are supported. So the three groups are outreach. People to bring, like the fellows is a classic example, people that might not be involved at ICANN at all, and we'd like to sort of bring them in the fold. To those who might not be able to afford to come, so it's more like a hardship support system. The registrars, for example, just to name one, they might be, their company might be fully able to fund it. So that obviously wouldn't apply to them, and so that would but because of the way the process was developed. So the third one is getting the work of ICANN done, right? And that really was, to be honest, that's the driver for it. That's why, from a corporate stamp, it isn't. All these things really make a lot of sense, but those also make sense in sort of the charity realm, which is not what we're talking about, right? It's to get the work of ICANN done. So it was perceived that in order to be multi-stakeholder, international, all socioeconomic classes, all aspects of the world, to make ICANN and its policy development process robust and strong, it was decided we've got to have a real travel guidelines policy. So then we went through several years of haggling and eventually came into finance to administer this process, by which we would allocate slots, because we didn't want to get into discussions of, well, if I fly from the United States, if I fly from Paris to here, that I could have 20 people from Paris, while only one could come from Pakistan, right? Because it's, or from New Zealand, where it's much more expensive. So the idea being, let's not play fairness rules to people that are to be fair, let's base it on the number of people who add value, and that's the driver, and that's the statistic to look at, as opposed to what's the dollar impact. That's always, did I lose you? There's always a balancing act between all of these. That being said, we also realize that in order to fund all the possible people that could possibly influence ICANN and to train them, and it could be, I think Doug had a slide once at New Delhi when I first started that had a lot of zeros in it, millions of millions of dollars. Tim, you remember that? Mm-hmm. I think it was like $5 million. You could conceivably, I could come up with a budget pretty quickly on how we could have a $5 million supported system on that. So that doesn't seem to be feasible within the ICANN thing. Then you can have, I talked to Bruce this morning about what they used to do in the old days with DNSO and whatnot, and guess what the travel support was then? Zero, right? Aubrey, is that about, then it used to be zero? And then somehow people would show up, and so they'd fund it in other ways. So we've been moving towards this process, and I remember when I first engaged, we realized that it was really, really causing a lot of heartache and actually hurting the policy development process by having funding half the counselors. So we came up with this idea that we have a little bit of budget room, at least in that year, so we'll fund all the counselors. So that was the idea. So that's sort of the overarching concept, right? Then the next thing about the guidelines is, how do you decide who in that group should go? Who should get funded? Is it those who can afford it? Is it? So then we came up with and I'm really stepping out of my sweet, my you know, strong area, but we basically follow the politics of the various SOs and ACs, right? So we follow the stakeholder groups and follow the constituencies. You know, ALAC was awarded some. So you had these different groups, and we put all of that in one paper and posted it for community comment. So the idea being that the community would buy off, that that's about the right balance for community travel support. There's been very little discussion about that, interestingly, the last 2 year and a half on that aspect of it, which was the key issue early on. So that's that. I guess I still raise the question, is that the right model to use? You know, but anyway, it is, and it's been in the budget for the last 2 years, and like a lot of budgets, it becomes kind of standard and fixed, and the Tims of the world stop complaining about it, and you know, so it kind of moves on and on and on like that. So that's one thing. The guidelines are really, really clear at saying, let's do slots. And we in finance and travel administration say, okay, we're going to implement that. And therefore, if you're flying from New Zealand and need to, or even if you need to go to another country to get a visa, and it's going to cost extra money, we'll go ahead and we'll do that. And if you're taking the train up from Paris today, we'll do that as well. And we won't make a distinction and give, you know, one of them a bigger gold star for spending less money or taking less time. So that was a conscious decision to do that. From a fairness standpoint, let's do travel slots. I'm going to speak. This is taking my CFO hat off, if it's possible to do that, if I'm allowed to do this. I'd like to just share with you my personal opinion on the way this is. And I'll address all the administration issues if you'd like. I think the fundamental issue and all the administrative issues is that ICANN's tried to become a travel agency support system with quick, you know, temporary people and trying to learn customer service and all these things. And we got out, in my opinion, we got out of our sweet spot. And so you have your stories. You can imagine my version of the stories as I have. Last time, remember I said we had 60 exceptions? And we got to stop this. And everybody got, yeah, you're right. We have to stop the exceptions. Guess what? The exceptions went up. We had more exceptions this time. And some of you had multiple exceptions on that. So we're actually going in the wrong direction in terms of from my workload and from the travel team's workload. They've come up with one idea that I think is a good one, actually. Instead of requesting an exception and trying to figure out and do the phone call thing, actually just fill out a form saying I'm requesting exception of X to Y and you know, change it from this date to that date or this level to that level and explain why. So at least it's form-based as opposed to personality persuasion, negotiation based. So that being said, I'm going to speak off the record. I guess you'd say I'm being recorded, but I think we really should go to a like you say about the United Nations. I'd like to understand more about how they do it, where we would have slots, and we would say, okay, the GNSO has provided X number of slots, ALAC has provided Y number of slots for each meeting, and here is the guideline: estimated cost for travel is $2,000. Maximum covered from anywhere in the world is $2,200. You know, come up with some set of rules on what those would be, and then base that on actual expenditures. I actually think, and several have told me very, very privately, that the per diems we provide are a profit center for some people, and others. Others.
I'll say it in public.
You agree with that?
I
yeah.
Agree.
Yeah. And other people say that the per diems, it doesn't cover everything. And you hear exception requests, I have to get special coverage because I had a $50 taxi fare when I left. So in my mind, we should have a more formalized system where your name is, if your slot is approved, Glenn would, or the individual support secretariat from each group would come in and give us a list of names, so that's how we decide who the slots are. And then we would also be given guidelines and maximums, and then people could apply for that. And anything that, for whatever reason, that they have to get much greater than that, then there, that would really be an exception, and they'd have to ask for it. Okay, so I had to fly, you know, at a much higher rate, and the reason why.
Who would buy the tickets in that?
So you would. Well, we would have the resource. So we, in my opinion, I think our sweeter spot is to provide a resource. We have a group buying process, but I have enough anecdotal evidence that the administrative hassles of that resource are not worth a command to go through the system. I think every one of you, offline and online even, and many others have suggested that if you just said, here's the BC number, it's you're welcome to use it. When you call up, they'll know your name. It's great. As opposed to, we're not going to reimburse you unless we do that. So I would actually advocate, personally I'd advocate, and by the way, no one will be surprised internally on this too. I would personally advocate that the next year's travel guidelines suggest something like what you're saying. Move from a slot, keep the slot-based system. Otherwise, you're going to have gaming where you're going to have, you know, a bunch of people. You're going to send 20 people from Paris for this meeting, and you're not going to have the multinational aspect of it. But you have some sort of guidelines and then a max for each one. And then let the traveler decide on whether they use BCD or use their own travel agent or use, you know, Orbitz or whatever they want to do. So that's what I'd advocate. I don't think it's my role to, because of the travel guidelines or community travel guidelines. I was hoping that someone would suggest that. Doug's leaving, so there's going to be a new chief operating officer. That'll be one of the first things I'll bring up to that person. Steve knows my opinion on this. I just think it takes a lot of headaches, a lot of frustration, and lets you, the traveler. I just know for me, my travel is, you know, it's like, where, what drawer I put my underwear in and how I tie my tie. It's just something very personal. And to try to train a travel agent, and even though it's in my same time zone, is very challenging. I know that personally for me. Yeah. So.
No, just clarification. So for the moment, we have the guidelines that we have, and you would propose that change, or we have to submit it in written to...
Well, the process, I'm not... The owner of the process at ICANN, but my understanding is there's a travel guidelines that gets posted every year in draft form, and community comment is received on it. This year there was three or four comments on the travel guideline, the draft travel guidelines, maybe five, and most of them were personal stories. They weren't fundamentally. How much, you know, are we providing, other than a couple, George Kourakos or something like that would comment about that we shouldn't be doing travel funding at all. But most of the comments are very personal, administratively oriented still. So my hope is that someone in the community or there's a groundswell to do that. Now, why do I hope that? I just think it's more efficient for ICANN, and that's in my DNA. But I have to be careful that's, you know, my job is not to drive the policy. My job is not to create the policy. My job is to synthesize it, listen, understand it.
Yeah, Wendy have another different subject, right? Or it's this?
Another travel subject.
Okay.
And stop me if this was already raised, but the non-commercial stakeholder group had a specific policy challenge when one of the board-appointed counselors couldn't come to Nairobi and NCSG wasn't permitted to use that slot to send another non-commercial member. So if that means we need to go into the travel policy and address among whom the slots can be allocated, that would be something that we would like to change to make sure that the full stakeholder group could use its representation.
Why can I jump in?
I don't understand why they couldn't use it. What was the?
I can explain.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I want to talk about the process too. After. Aubrey spent a lot of time explaining this to me. I'm not sure I'd pass. I think I passed the multiple choice. I'm not sure I passed the essay test.
And I'll do the short answer. Basically, we were informed that because those NCSG council members were appointed top-down by the board as opposed to elected bottom-up by the NCUC, the NCSG, that those funds were different, that they were allocated differently, and that therefore we were not entitled to use them for other NCSG travel slots. We argued that no matter how they became NCSG council members, once they became NCSG council members, they were NCSG council members, and it should all be treated the same. But within policy, and I'm not sure whether it came from the policy support group or support, just a word I'm putting in there, but whether it came from the policy support group or whether it came from somewhere else, that was basically the decision. And so that's sort of, this may indeed happen again next time, and I kind of want to make sure it doesn't.
Three more slots than what probably had been budgeted, right, at that. Is that what happened to it?
I actually don't think it was a budget issue.
No, it wasn't
a budget
issue.
It was an interpretation of the travel guidelines.
Three slots per...
Did they get
modified on this?
It was
for the new houses?
It was per stakeholder group. There was budgeting per stakeholder group.
Okay. Do you have the travel guidelines up? I don't remember if this particular mod was modified. If I could ask the travel drafting group to read the guidelines, that I haven't posted them final. The public comment period is closed, but I haven't posted them final. I was going to post them final in July. It'd be great if we could fine-tune that.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity to still fine-tune that. Once again, this is... I don't think it's staff's role to do the horse trading between the different groups. And I know Aubrey didn't like the way I characterized this, but you didn't like this. But I thought of it as... What it was explained to me internally, and it was from the policy group or ex-policy group head, is that if a board member couldn't come to a meeting, like Rita couldn't come to the Nairobi meeting or something, then she couldn't have, well, I'm going to send someone else in my place, fly business class, sit up on stage. You just have one less board member go, and that's part of the process. Unlike that, with your you have various groups that are if Terry couldn't go, then someone else could go in his place for that role. It's a split position or slot.
As a NOMCOM appointee, if Terry can't go, Terry can't go.
Okay, that's actually a terrible example. Yeah.
Right, but no, it's actually an excellent example that.
Right.
So those funds lapse, basically.
That's right.
It goes back into the budget. It's still available, and you can sort of either, move it on.
Yeah, so this is what I want to... This is maybe a subtlety, and we've talked about this, about the budget issue. It's not like... If you look at our budget, $59 million hopefully will be submitted to the board for approval on Friday, right? There isn't a line item. There's a bunch of details in there, including those items. So we've taken it internally. The registry group, for example, asked to carry over their... They didn't have people that wanted to be funded, apparently. So they asked to carry that over from one meeting to the next meeting, and we granted that on an exception basis. I think if everybody did that consistently year over year, we'd have to address that as a travel guidelines, and it would become a budget issue. If 30 members wanted to roll themselves over from the Brussels meeting to the Cartagena meeting another fiscal year, that would have a significant impact on next year's fiscal budget, and we'd have to address it more on the, in the finance committee section. One or two slots that get rolled over, I think it's fine.
So not a systemic sort of follow through. Okay. Just a couple of things. I remember asking when we were trying to draft this stuff as a drafting team, can we get a breakdown of what it takes to fund the council members at the moment? We weren't able to get those figures per se. Can I request over the last, say, four meetings, could we get the exact figures of how much it cost to fund?
Can you just...
Because that's a consolidated figure.
No, we actually have name by name.
Yeah.
That's
is
the
it?
Guideline.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to put. Can someone?
That'd be good.
Can someone
bring that up?
Show the internet, and we all should see it. And it,
so per person,
you especially should see it because there's some anomalies.
Interesting.
So you're gonna want to look. People are gonna.
I'll have a look at that.
Where
moving.
Okay.
This is the guideline.
Yeah, go.
In the guidelines.
You want me to tell you where it is?
It's in the budget.
Can you post? Can you
operate?
Can you project up there?
No.
I cannot because I need another table that I can.
We can bring it up here if you show us the. Where is it on the website?
If you go to documents. This is the way I go. There's a lot of things.
Right there, documents.
Documents, finance. And then there's the thing called travel guidelines.
You mean financial information?
Financial information,
right.
Yeah. The travel support guidelines.
You see travel support guidelines, click on that.
Right here now, just there.
And there's a page that has the guidelines, the summaries, which is by meeting, and the travel report. So you'll actually see
a preliminary
report for Brussels, which has names and rough estimates
Excellent.
Of dollars.
Here we go.
But I've seen one with names.
I wonder if most people realize that their travel expenses are published here.
Oh, this is great.
And when someone
here
flies, cancel their flight and put it in there again.
This is great stuff. Excellent. Thank you, Kevin. This is good. Yeah, we're looking at it. We're looking actually at per name. Yep, we got it. So we go down.
If you just come to the last travel guidelines meeting,
yeah, I wasn't there the last one. I wasn't there the last one. Anyway, coming back to what I was going to say from there on, the per diem being a revenue source for some people, I would strongly...
Profit center, I guess.
Profit center. I'd really, really be cautious about that one because, I mean, it depends on the person necessarily. I don't know if that is the case. I don't see it that way. Many people that I know don't see it that way. The constituency still is pushing, and this is being discussed, and it's going to be coming up in our constituency day as to how do we want to move forward with these funds. Do we want them to remain a slotted, at least our position internally? Should it be a slot? Should it be a certain allocation? And the question we can't get an answer to is why couldn't we do sort of funds and allocate them equally amongst the stakeholder groups or constituencies and let them run that. And in addition to the fact that, as Terry's problem and mine was, allow them the option to book their own tickets. I think the form is fine. Filling out the form is not an issue.
Yeah.
But allowing us to purchase our own tickets and manage our own travel may actually alleviate, as you said, some of the administrative burden.
Right. So that the latter point, I'm personally advocating.
Right.
The travel guidelines are not saying that, and some of the Doug, in particular.
And the former?
Doug Brent, the chief operating officer,
feels
pretty strongly that from a fiduciary responsibility standpoint, it's a problem. So that's the driver. I remember we've talked about that when we first met. So his the point that I my counterpoint to him, which I haven't pushed hard because I haven't heard of groundswell until now, is that as long as we have a fair way of allocating the slots and the names are clearly so Glenn still communicates to us who the names that are chosen.
Right.
And as long as those people provide an expense report, as opposed to we give Zahid, $200,000 and please pay for travel for the business constituency for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a fiduciary problem. But as long as we say
Why would that be a problem?
It would be a problem to give you $200,000 to pay for a constituency, the business constituency for the year, because you might spend it on something else.
So So
you're not bonded.
To address that, it's a funding. It's like a grant or a funding that's done usually for by one donor agency to another, to a recipient. It's done all the time.
Right.
So here's ICANN basically donating, subsidizing, making available a certain fund to its constituencies for the purpose of travel support.
Right.
Now, what the constituencies have to do, and sure they can do this, is basically provide you with accounts and do an audit. And as long as they're fulfilling that fiduciary aspect and everything's going fine, there's no fiduciary breach. And this is very normal. This happens several times with donor agencies.
Yeah,
why would there be a...
You're exactly right. You can do it, of course. we're not set up to.
So the BC could do. I mean, for instance, we have accounts, and we just like ICANN does. We actually look at our accounts. It goes through a process of being vetted by all the members. We are accountable. So no particular individual in the BC could probably utilize those funds for any other purpose. And so there's that accountability and fiduciary responsibility to the members of the BC as well, because these funds are for their benefit.
You could do that, and then you'd have to give me the information so I could post it on the website.
So if we can propose this, I'm just trying to get a clarification. If we can propose this as our comments, you could take it to your to wherever you need to take it to, and see if we can.
I guess I'd say I would be synthesizing comments. Right, I think your solution to go to. To actually hand a set of money up front for the year won't fly right now. I think that will create more tension.
I understand what the obstruction to that would be. What specifically would be the obstruction?
That would be several I could think of right off the top of my head. One is there's what's that?
The BC is not a formal legal body.
Yeah,
for one thing. That's probably the first issue that I see. If you guys were formed as, you know, some sort of, you know,
IGF
association or IGF or something like that, but you know, it's just a body within ICANN.
For us to contribute to the IGF, and we do.
Right.
I'd have to check with general counsel, but I think I know it has to get general counsel review internally. But I think it might even have to get board approval.
So how about this? I'm sort of reverse engineering that whole concept instead of actually.
But as a first step to that, I think it makes sense for you or for the community to recommend that we switch from forcing you to buy and go through a process that has. And you might list why through that process. Keep the slot concept, but do a reimbursement basis rather than a forced pay basis.
Okay.
The worst thing is I found out that many of our exceptions, the travelers didn't know what the cost of those exceptions were.
Right, exactly.
Did you know that?
No, that's true. This time I said,
every time I said exception, make sure that Zahid knows
that
it's going to cost $345 more
$100
because of the decision he made.
Yep.
So I look him in the eye. Yeah. I don't want to walk into Brussels and have you say, "Oh, I didn't know it would cost that much more."
Good.
Same thing with
your But let me come back. My constituency is going to ask me the same question again. You need to go and they probably give public comments as well to make sure that the funds are made available to the constituency. Made available doesn't mean transfer funds to them to sign checks off, but make it available to them upon the instructions is received from the BC by whoever the designated representative might be, maybe the treasurer of the BC, because we're going into a different, you know, everybody's going to have charters.
You're going further. I would recommend you advocate slots with limits, like you were saying before, like the UN.
I hear you about the slots, but I'm going to try to go further because that's what we had originally recommended in the drafting team, and I think that's what we're going to be recommending again. So just wanted to sort of finish my thought on that.
Okay, sorry.
So the BC, so the funds are, they remain with ICANN. They're still in your account. BC has an allocation, a budgetary allocation. They would basically inform Glenn that these are the people who would want to attend. So it wouldn't be slots, it would be funds. And if they want to split it six ways, four ways, one way, they want to do hotels, they want to mix and match, do whatever they want to do, as long as it's within certain guidelines, they can do that. So it's not slots, it's funds. And so it's a budget creator. So you don't have to transfer funds, so the incorporation issue doesn't exist anymore.
Can I comment on the UN idea you've brought up a couple times? You wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
As an employee, part-time employee of the UN, I travel on them all the time. It's everyone, unless you happen to be the Secretary General or Undersecretary and such. Everyone at below 9 hours travels economy. Anyone above 9 hours travels business. If you want an exception, because in other words, but within those classes, it's most direct route, least expense, dealing with your schedule, obviously, of being with meetings. Anything you want in terms of exception. So that's the part you wouldn't like. anything you want in terms of exceptions. You do have to fill out a sign, sign a form, and anything it costs extra, you pay for.
Right.
So why
that sounds great to me. Why would I not?
Because the business class, I mean, okay, if you can include the board on it, or even the board travels economy, unless it's a 9-hour elapsed. But the rest of these folks would get business on a 9-hour over elapsed.
So you will. Okay. Well, you might not get that, but you might get the other stuff.
just to be clear, what I was talking about is Zahid's point that, and I've heard that. I have no specific information that on how it works. Is that instead of being reimbursed, or instead of their flight being paid, they're reimbursed up to a certain amount.
Right.
There's a limit to the amount. Anything, maybe that's the same thing.
It's a financial authorization.
And then above that, if you want to fly to Tahiti on the way, fine, then you're just going to pay that extra fare.
But the key point, takeaway that I'd like to sort of just deliver to the group is, and I think Terry and me and many others, we need to be able to do our own bookings and do our own flight, you know, purchase of tickets and get reimbursed afterwards, because that's the biggest difficulty. And Fridays, these are the two main difficulties we faced. But we'll be giving comments.
Thank you so much, Kevin. As usual, very helpful. And just one last comment. You were very flexible with me this time because I have to go to Geneva to a meeting, and they allowed me to stop in Brussels, then I'll take a train and go to Geneva and get my plane to Buenos Aires from Geneva. So you were very kind with that. With me, you were flexible.
Thank you very much.
I
appreciate that. And the one point about the communication, where I'm very aware of it, they're very aware of it. It's a challenge. And I guess as a closing comment, if you could just be patient with that, and when you see that kind of challenge, do what Alan Greenberg does, you know, document it, send it over, and then elevate it.
Try to avoid that.
Maybe document it more crisply, but if you could, it's helpful to do that rather than fester. The worst thing is you come to a meeting like this and it's festered. We want to learn, they want to learn. As long as we're in that process, we might as well make it as best as possible.
Just want to clarify, I don't think there was any willful intent on the person's part at all whatsoever. I think it was a question of historical knowledge being not necessarily there. Obviously, right. The guidelines say one thing. The guy's got to do what he's got to do.
Right.
Simple as that. Right. No, absolutely. I understand that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really over.
I will be bringing it up again when you come visit us, the whole notion that I brought up, the fairness issue on NCSG, I'll be bringing it up again.
You didn't write it, though.
Huh?
You didn't write it.